This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby. If you enjoy football, and brotherly banter, be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys.
Here's some stories from my NFL playing days, goofy conversations about everyday life, giving you entertaining lessons on the pitches across the pond, fun, relatable guests, and what it means to live life on purpose.
New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday. Be sure to subscribe to Kicking It with the Crosbys on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Stall save at the far post. Here's a chance out front. Scores! Great pass to J.J. Paterka from Dylan Cousins. There it is. The Sabres cut the lead in half. It's 2-1 Anaheim. Dylan Cousins wins it off the wall. Plays it back. Tuck takes it away from Cousins. Tuck! Oh! Did he score? Yes, he did! Far circle. Quinn gets it back again. Shot's not there. Joki Haru scored from here in the tournament. Scores! He did it again!
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on the home of the Sabres, WGR Sports Radio 550.
So, hey, good morning. Happy Wednesday. There's an audible on what we were going to start the show with today. You didn't know what I was ready to roll out until two things happened yesterday. I was going to roll out an instant trivia that was the six Bills players whose cap hits are higher than the entire wide receiver room. That's what it was going to be until Shakir got his deal.
Right.
So that's not the case anymore. But that was a fun one.
Yeah.
Shakir gets an extension. And the Sabres, of course, you know, they're streaking. Here we go. Operation 10 straight, very much alive.
Or 2 through 10.
Two. It is funny to point out that they had to win 5 out of 6 before this little streak in order to even get to this spot. But
yes, they did.
Here are your updated Operation 10 straight projections through 64 games.
Okay.
So that's if the Sabres win 8 more in a row. Where would they be in the standings? This is how to get back in the playoff race. This is the best, easiest, shortest way, just so you know, win all your games. They would have, if they won 8 more in a row, Joe, they would have 69 points and be in 10th. It'd still be in 10th.
Okay.
But Ottawa 70, Columbus 70, Detroit 72. And that would be with 18 games to play.
Okay.
So, not too bad.
Go get it. Let's go get it.
Yes.
They also are closing in on Pittsburgh. They are 2 points back of the Penguins, and they have a lot of games in hand on Pittsburgh.
They do. They have a lot of games in hand on a lot of teams. I said to Josh before the show, if they were to win their next three, they might jump 4 teams.
Okay.
Because
they would jump Pittsburgh, they would jump
Islanders,
Philly, right?
Yep. They're 3 back of the whatever. I mean, the standings are kind of silly, but they would get above the schmozzle that is Montreal, Philly, Islanders, Penguins.
Listen,
with a couple of wins.
Just pass anybody at this point, because the last time they were not in last place in the Eastern Conference.
Was it Christmas?
Was 72 days ago, December 16th.
Okay, before Christmas.
Before Christmas, yeah. 9 days before Christmas. 72 days since they've been out of last place in the conference.
Yeah.
And they are they're going to get out of last place.
They're going to get out of last place. They're not going to finish in last, right?
No. No. I think the Penguins are a worse team than they are. I think Philly's a worse team than they are.
Goal differential, we talked about with Paul 2 days ago, maybe.
Yeah.
The Sabres on the season are a -7. They are a couple points behind Pittsburgh, who is a -49.
Yeah.
It's not supposed to happen. Anyway, we're going to do our best to have some fun with this 10 straight race. I almost called it a playoff race. Whatever.
It wasn't looking good last night.
No, it was not.
I mean, I looked. I thought about it. I thought about betting them when they were down 2-0, and I didn't do it. But they, I mean, were any, they, I thought they were playing fine, but yeah. There were no good vibes really going into that third period. Like everything was kind of sloppy and another one. Special teams really was the thing that
was
killing them, right?
The 5-on-5 numbers, the Sabres dominated that game unlike almost any other this season.
Right, right. That's, I guess, what made it frustrating is it felt like they're playing well and they're down 2-0. Kind of two softer penalties at the beginning of the game for a 5-on-3 that gets the Ducks a goal.
Yep.
But, right, they both the Anaheim goals, I think, were on special teams. Were they not? Yeah, both were power play goals.
Yep.
So 5-on-5, they won 3-0. But that's kind of been a theme all year. They've been a good 5-on-5 team. They're like top 10 in the league in 5-on-5 this season. It's been more power play and special teams, but yeah.
Well, good morning, everyone. Jeremy and Joe. Sal at 8 from the Combine. Paul at 7. And at 9, we have Craig Hoffman, who covers the Washington Commanders, to talk a little bit about two things in Washington. One, Jonathan Allen, Pro Bowl defensive lineman, who may be a cap casualty, may be available for a trade. It would be a very cheap trade because you're taking on cap.
Yep.
And also their pursuit of Myles Garrett. So that's 9 o'clock. Craig Hoffman on the Commanders. How serious are they? Excuse me, as a contender for Myles Garrett. So that's the schedule of guests on the morning. And in the meantime, we can talk to you about anything. The Khalil Shakir contract extension, of course, is probably the biggest news of the day outside of the Sabres' inevitable run to 10 consecutive wins. I'm dreaming big. What else you got to do, you know?
That's all we can do at this point. I'm putting it more in the frame of before the trade deadline. You know, give me the there's 5 games left now before the trade deadline. Give me those 5 wins. Give me there, and I'm not saying they will be buyers at the deadline if they are to do that, but maybe that kind of swings the pendulum a little bit on selling a little bit one way or the other.
I don't think
maybe.
So.
Maybe. I saw, it might have just been speculation. Was it Dave Pagnotta, 4th period, who was talking about the Sabres getting a first for Jason Zucker?
Ugh.
Like, there's been deadline trades in recent years where teams are, like, they're trading. Because teams like Tampa now have recognized late first-round picks aren't really that valuable. So they've started trading late first-round picks for guys at the deadline.
Yep.
And I saw them, like, I've not seen that anywhere else. I don't know how realistic that is. But I thought, like, okay, if he isn't signing and that call comes in, is that going
to
sway them to just say yes?
It's a great question. I was about to say, you know, if he's not signing, that's different. But they traded a second-round pick for Beck Malenstein because they need to trade assets to get players, to get the rights to players.
And that was an early second? Like, isn't that the difference of, like, 10 picks?
If he's worth a second, I think that Zucker's worth a first to them.
Right, right.
And
just
do the math. So thanks, but no thanks. If you can get the deal done, we don't want the first. The one thing about the Sabre season looking forward from here, so Dahlin and Byram together, that is looking to be really dynamic and really amazing. Is Byram going to sign long-term? I don't know.
Right.
But you've got – what you really have with the Sabres is I'm starting to line up the dominoes for a Dylan Cousins trade. I don't know that it'll happen at the deadline, but it's got to happen, and here's why. I mean, I guess it doesn't have to be him.
He had 3 assists last night, by the way.
He did. Yeah. It's got to be somebody. Because right now what the Sabres have is a team that obviously underachieved all year, and we're going to have a little fun hoping they can win 10 in a row. But you have so many pieces locked in that the idea of signing Byram, Zucker, and Greenway, sign them all.
And McLeod. He's an RFA. Yeah.
I, again, have a full team with no one to sign. No space to have anybody on my roster. So with that in mind, I feel like somebody's got to go. Somebody's got to get traded, whether that's Power.
Samuelson.
Somebody.
Yeah.
You just can't have a completely locked-in team that finishes in 15th place and have everybody under contract with not a lot of players where you'd say, well, it's okay because these guys are going to grow. I know they're still young. So if they bring back these 3 guys that they probably want to bring back, Byram, Zucker, and Greenway, then somebody under contract has got to go, and I believe that they will. At the deadline, probably not. Who's making the Cousins trade at the deadline? Are you giving Detroit that player to help them get better? I mean, that's...
Well, isn't the point of a Cousins trade to make a hockey trade? To get a player back of equal value or close to it? Or isn't it also to use him and something else to go get an even better player? Like, that's where he is kind of tough to see being moved at the deadline is...
Not impossible.
You did get one last year, right? Middlestat for Byram.
Yep.
But also, like, that's a positional swap. Like, that is a very unique circumstance where Colorado needs a center. Like, it's more about the position than it is about the player. It's, okay, we need a center, and we've got two really good defensemen already with Byram. So, all right, we're deep at D, and we're thin at center. All right, you want to make a center for defenseman swap? All right, cool. It felt like it was more about the position for the other team that you were dealing with. What is that trade now? You want to find that team again? You want to find a team that is thin at center and is going to need...
No, because you're...
And they're going to have a plethora of defensemen?
The problem is you're thin at center.
Right, you're thin at center, and you kind of have the defensemen already.
Yeah.
So, do you want to go center for wing? Like, how are you getting someone else to make a hockey trade that looks similar to what you made with Colorado?
And how are you doing it without the knowledge of who you're going to be able to sign? Sucker, Greenway,
McLeod,
Byram.
Well, McLeod, they'll sign it.
Can you sign Byram? If you can't, then you got to plan accordingly. And he has to get traded.
Man, that shift before Paterka scored the first one, no, when Tuck scored the second one, there was like a 2-minute shift where the Sabres had the puck the whole time. I couldn't believe they couldn't score. And it was just Dahlin and Byram just working the whole zone. Like, those two were just like a tornado all around the ice, like looping around the Ducks. I tweeted this out last night. I don't think I've ever seen, right? Like, I don't think the bar is super high for this necessarily. I don't think I've ever seen a defense pair that's as fun to watch as those two, as dynamic offensively as those two.
Yep.
Right? Because two guys that are that good offensively is not something they've had much of in their entire careers. I thought of Campbell and Spacek maybe played together for like a season, but that might be the closest you got.
Other great pairings that were fun to watch.
Someone mentioned Myers and Talinder in Myers' rookie year.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Tyler Myers' rookie year was...
Yeah, and Talinder was amazing that year, too, I think.
Yeah, yeah. How about Cody Franzen? And,
okay,
no, sorry,
enough. Absolutely enough.
803-0550 is our number. Lots to get to on Khalil Shakir, NFL stuff, Brandon Bean from the Combine talking about their need for speed and many, many other things. And the big five we'd been talking about, Shakir, Bernard, Benford, Rousseau, and who am I forgetting? Cook. First domino falls. It's Shakir. We can talk about his contract, what it means, next dominoes. So we've got lots to get to. Busy Wednesday for you here. Give us a ring, 803-0550. And on the Sabres, we are going to squeeze content out of these Sabres in this final stretch. You better believe it. And you're coming with us.
Well, they're going to have to win. Keep winning.
You're coming with us. Paul in Buffalo. Hey, Paul, good morning.
Jeremy, first of all, don't sell yourself short. We are not squeezing content. What did you say at the beginning of the year? This team has streaks in them.
That's right. That's right.
And my first call of the year about the Sabres was after Dahlin took a non-contact injury in training camp. And I said, we're going to rue the day this injury happened. And whomever sent him to Europe might have screwed our entire season. But, glass half full right now because we are in the midst of an historic comeback. What we are seeing right now is what we saw two seasons ago, a 100% healthy Rasmus Dahlin and a 100% healthy Tage Thompson, and they absolutely dominate games. Tage is doing his Mario Lemieux impersonation again. He is toe-dragging people in ways you don't think a big man can. Dahlin is shooting and hitting now, along with doing his amazing rushes that he's always done, along with controlling the game. He's ringing pipes now. He could have had a couple last night. Byram is looking good, and this is my pitch to Bowen Byram. You may never get the notoriety as the best defenseman on this team, but look at the minutes you play. Those are number one defenseman minutes. Whether or not you're quarterbacking a power play, you're playing 24 minutes a night. You're going to get paid if you want to stay here. And being on a top pair with Rasmus Dahlin is nothing to feel slighted about in any way. You've surpassed Owen Power on this team, and he was a number one overall pick. So if it's your ego you're worried about, son, don't worry about it because you're going to get all the notoriety you need to keep playing the way you are with Dahlin. There's no reason we can't make this run. We got to get eight more in a row. we will be at NHL 500 then, and that arena will be packed every night. Guys, we got to talk it into belief.
That's
power
right.
of positive thinking.
Thanks, Paul.
Have a great show.
You know,
also
I,
thank you for putting it as NHL 500 because it's
that's right.
It's not like real 500.
Two things:
yeah.
No love for the new sniper on the blue line, Henry Jokiharju. Come on, I mean the guy.
That's his spot. He's like the corner three. Jokiharju is the king of the corner three, apparently. I was listening with the sound down at that moment, so I tweeted out after, like, hey, that's where he scored in the Four Nations, not knowing Dan Dunleavy literally called it right before the goal.
Yep.
Like, oh, he scored from there in the Four Nations. Bang, goal again. Corner threes.
Henry Jokiharju.
We found a spot. Just sit him over there the whole time.
In his office. There he is.
His office.
Joker in his office there for the goal.
Has anyone's office in hockey ever not been the front of the net?
Jochen Hesch behind the net.
Okay. Good answer.
And
I was about to say, like, I don't think anyone ever has
Ovechkin's
had
is the circle.
Okay, yeah, that's right.
Is Tage's the circle, too? Who else has an office?
I mean, on the power
Alexei
play,
Zhitnik
I would say
is
that.
Two steps inside the blue line and missing the net.
Someone said Zhitnik and Kalinin was the most fun to watch.
All right.
Saber
pair. All right.
Ever.
We're feeling ourselves today.
Byram, by the way, like maybe that sales pitch works. He also, where is he now? I think after Ladd, did he have another assist last night? I thought I saw even strength points. He's even higher than he was before. He is somewhere. He was in the top 10. But anyways, I don't know that sales pitch holds any water if he just wants to win, you know? Like, the guy's won the cup. Does he know what it takes? Does he not care as much about, oh, yeah, I am playing. He's playing 23 minutes a night. That is two more minutes, three more minutes even, than he ever played in Colorado. Two more minutes than he ever played in Colorado per night. Is that all that matters to him? Like, I'm just going to get to ride and play with Rasmus Dahlin for the length of this contract? Or do I want to go to a team, like, out west that's, you know, great?
Sure, right. It's tough. He's an RFA, and they've been through this before, and it's kind of like having a player with a no-trade clause. This player has the power to say,
a little bit.
No thanks.
Yeah.
So what are you going to do to make him stay?
And he does have, we went through this like a week ago, he's got some numbers when he's not playing with Dahlin that are pretty scary. But I also want to value what he is when he's playing with Dahlin. Like, he moves around the ice. He gets scoring opportunities himself. He jumps up in the play. So if he's going to play with Dahlin, I see a lot of value in him.
Yeah,
but I also wouldn't want to overrate it and say he's worth $9 million because he's, you know, ninth in the league in even strength points.
Well, perfect partners matter. And getting a player that's perfect for your best. This is a little bit about, if I can make an odd comparison, but I'll go for it. Why did Derrick Henry have his best season with Lamar? Because they bring out the best in each other, and they're individually good on their own merit, but pairing them together. If I had a defenseman that was otherwise bad, but was the perfect partner for Rasmus Dahlin, let's just play the game.
Yeah.
And anywhere else, he's terrible. But with Dahlin, they're both incredible.
Mm-hmm.
That is worth paying for.
Mm-hmm.
Because my investment is, what is my net gain out of all of it? If all of a sudden I have the best defensive pairing in hockey, and if I break them up, I don't have any of them, well, whatever. I've got something. So I don't know what they'll do about Byram. I don't know how they'll commit to paying him. The salary cap, of course, is going way up, and they've got money committed. It really comes down to, for me, this was the Pettersson idea. Like, you want Pettersson, you better find out some contracts they're going to send out. Because if you want $11 million coming in, bye-bye to Samuelson and Cousins, because that's a push on the money.
Yeah, that's why the Byram and Cousins for Pettersson idea sounded like it just made sense.
Right.
Sending two contracts out.
803-0550. Is it going to happen? Well, I guess we'll find out. Up next is Carolina. Okay. That's a little bit of a...
That's
a little landmine in your winning 10 straight. They just won last night. They shut out Montreal. It was 4-0 last I saw. And then you're into Montreal and San Jose, and you know, teams you can beat again. So, you know.
No, they lost to Montreal.
They did?
4-0, yeah.
Oh, my NHL app was backwards, I guess. They're going to be mad. Oh, all right. Wait, are they a mad...
Yeah, they lost 4-0.
Are they a mad Carolina team, or are they a wounded Carolina team?
I don't know that
team?
Helps me. They've lost... They lost the... Toronto before that too.
They lost five of their last six.
Oh, they're ripe for the picking.
I don't know. They're still a pretty good team. I'd be a little worried about that. They've got their own drama. They just traded for Mikko Rantanen, and he's like already like, I'm just not signing there.
Yeah, yeah, that's an odd scenario. I keep seeing like the Rantanen problem. Like, wait a minute, he just got there.
I guess he just is telling everyone like, you traded for me. I don't care. I'm still hitting free agency.
Yeah,
like I was gonna hit free agency. I told Colorado I was gonna hit free agency. You traded for me. I'm gonna tell you the same thing. I'm hitting free agency. That I think that's all that really is happening with him. But they have been losing.
803-0550. 1-888-550-2550. On the Sabres, if you want it. Also on the Bills. We've got news on the Bills because Khalil Shakir gets a contract extension, a four-year extension to stay on as the Bills' primary target. Who knows if he'll be the primary target for all 4 years, but he was last year for them. Good player, I want to say, universally appreciated, right?
Yes.
Everybody likes Shakir.
Yes. He does. He's consistent. He doesn't really make mistakes. He does a little bit of everything, but he's definitely their best guy when it comes to like screens and the short passing game. Yeah, he's a really good slot receiver that there's really not much. I don't know where the debate in his game would even really come. Like,
yeah.
Is anyone out there still thinking like, oh, he could turn into like a great outside receiver?
Absolutely not.
That was proposed as like a thought a couple of years ago, and I think we're long past that to know what he is. At this point, and there's no debate really about the money, is there?
No.
Like, he's the 23rd highest paid receiver in football, but what is he going to be by the end of the offseason?
I know. In 2 years, he'll be 39th. He'll be 50th.
Right.
And
actually, if you look at the contracts around him, like, there aren't a lot of four-year deal guys that are below him. There are a few, like Gabe Davis is one of them.
Yep.
But you count like league inflation, he basically kind of got the Gabe Davis contract.
That's exactly what I thought, is he got the Gabe Davis deal. And
I think he's a better receiver than Gabe Davis is.
He's a different receiver.
Yes.
You know what I was thinking about with receivers, you know, as someone who again comes in here and blows the horn for the wide receiver train every day, we should almost treat them like linebackers. There are receivers and then there are receivers. Khalil Shakir does not have the same job as Ja'Marr Chase. He's not the same guy. In the way that Micah Parsons doesn't have the same job as Matt Milano, right? Like, you just don't have pass-rushing edge linebackers that harass the quarterback versus linebackers that drop into coverage like Terrell Bernard. It's a different job. And Shakir getting 4 years, about 15 the average,
yeah,
that's a slot receiver. When T. Higgins signs in a month for 29, that's different. He plays a different position, even though they're all listed as receivers. I was also looking up Shakir's, you know, his catches, and this kind of, if I could make a point here to compare it to Dahlin and Byram for a half second, what you have with Shakir is a player that, in the right scenario, flourishes. His average depth of target.
Oh, I mean, there was a time during the year where it was like miles below any other receiver.
Yes, he is way near the bottom where they throw him the ball. His yards before reception, you know, yards after catch. How about yards before catch? He catches the ball like running backs do, often. Mm. Running backs and tight ends. He is a short yardage, short area guy that they like his yards after catch skills, but they also build that into his game. He gets the opportunity to run that little orbit motion, catch the ball on the run against flat-footed players. He is, Shakir owes a lot to Josh Allen, but he might owe more to Joe Brady because Shakir really didn't pop as a full-time thing until Joe Brady got the job. And then it became, oh, look at how they're using this player. Mm-hmm. Look at how consistent he is. So Brady gets Shakir to show us what he can do. And I don't know that I ever need him to be more than he has been.
Yeah. Like, how much do you think he'll ever have a season with much more than he had this past year?
I would
76 for 821 and 4. Like, how much higher would we ever expect him to go?
I think he could get to 1,100 yards in a pass-heavy offense. I
mean, that's a pretty big jump.
It is a big jump, but targets could go up. Everybody eats could be pushed to the side because, well, now we got a $15 million receiver out there.
We got
a first-round tight end out there. I think
he would need to continue to not really have a lot of competition, though, wouldn't he?
And like, I think he – here. Well, let's get stupid because of the Shakir contract. Let's trade Dalton Kincaid. Why are we competing over the middle of the field for these targets? They drafted Kincaid and then found out Shakir is fine over the middle. In fact, he's really good over the middle and should be our over-the-middle guy.
All right.
Why do I need Kincaid? Really, why do I need him? Who wants to trade for a Bills young player? You want to trade for Dalton Kincaid?
Oh,
I don't think they will, but
it would be a buy low for another team.
A lot of our conversations about them is, well, 12 personnel, who comes off the field? Shakir? I don't want to do that.
Right.
Interesting. Good stuff, though. 803-0550 on the Sabres, on Shakir, on Combine Buzz. Brandon Bean spoke yesterday about the Shakir news. And we can talk about where he fits in and all that.
There was a T. Higgins tweet as well.
Oh, I saw. It wasn't cryptic.
This is not a cryptic emoji.
He used young people vocabulary to call someone a liar.
Yes.
All right.
Capping.
Ah, I knew it.
You got it.
So proud of myself.
He knew what the ball cap was.
You see someone tweet a hat, that means that they're saying that person is lying.
Did you have to look it up?
No, I have known that for a little while. Yeah. Because I learned it because no cap means I'm telling the truth.
Right.
Yes. So there you go.
That's right.
See, look at this. You guys think I'm old. I'm not old. I'm showing off my chops here. You can give us a ring. Jeremy and Joe on WGR.
Dylan Cousins wins it off the wall. Plays it back. Tuck takes it away from Cousins. Tuck! Oh, did he score? Yes, he did! The puck is behind you, and the game is tied at two.
Dan Dunleavy on the call, one of the first moments of the game. For all the moments in life, go forth to Firth Jewelers. The end of that game, the final 40 seconds, minute.
Stressful.
You know.
You're all around
that
net.
This is where we have a family talk and say, are any of us prepared to admit how infested we were in the final 40 seconds of a Tuesday night Sabres-Ducks game between the, I'm sorry, let me check the standings where the Ducks are.
Oh, they're a little higher.
Yeah?
They were six out of their playoff spot, I know, going into last night.
These are the 26th and 29th ranked teams in the NHL on a Tuesday night.
Hey,
and
they said there'd be momentum from the four nations in the NHL.
Actually, the NHL ratings have seen a bit of a boost across the league. A little bit of a boost from the Four Nations. I saw a story on that.
Wasn't it an all-time low?
Maybe.
It had gone down before that.
Josh was at the game. Said the atmosphere was electric.
Did you see Rob?
I did, yeah. It was funny looking up there because like everyone...
Because the light was there, right? It wasn't hard to see where he was.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
No,
yeah.
But nobody knew he was there until people started talking about it on Twitter, and I look up, and there he is, just hanging out. But, yeah, the energy was amazing. Like, for a Tuesday night, was just an awesome atmosphere, and everyone was getting into it. It was just a great time. Also, the food was fantastic.
Yeah. Oh, all the special food items?
Special food items and everything. It was, the jerk chicken I got to try, it was great.
Nice.
Everything was really good.
Nice.
Yeah, Rob had the chicken tender thing with like the different colored dipping sauces. Like there was a blue, red, and yellow dipping sauce that looked really good. Rob had a great time. Just got to eat the whole game. That sounds amazing.
I heard there was a hot mic with him eating a hot dog.
Sure.
At one point.
Great.
Like he was just hanging out eating a hot dog during a goal call.
Let's just make them like Food Network.
I was just going to say, for the
Saber Food Network.
Just for the vibes. Should he just be up in the stands eating a dog the rest of the season?
Yeah.
Just for the vibes.
It's like an alternate broadcast, like the Manning cast, but maybe we'll make it the main one here, is just Rob's food corner during Sabre games. So it's one cam on, he's taste testing different things, the arena, new hot dogs of the day.
I'll ask what everyone's...
Game's on over on the side.
I'll ask what everyone's thinking right now. Would you eat a Cobb salad in the 300 level?
Sure. Of course.
During a game?
Eat a Cobb salad anywhere.
Cobb salad.
How about Smarties?
They're great.
Do you think we can get the Sabres to have a Cobb salad station somewhere in the arena?
How about a Cobb salad? We haven't done a Cobb salad dog yet, have we?
No.
That would be too much stuff to put on that, though.
Maybe. What's it got? Ham and egg?
Ham?
What's on a Cobb salad? Turkey? Ham? Chicken? I don't even know. There's an egg on it.
What's
right?
The last time you've had a
I'm not going to touch it.
That makes sense.
There's a hard boiled egg cut in half on that thing?
Fried egg.
Yeah.
If you're doing it right, you go fried egg, chicken, bacon, avocado, tomato, carrot sticks if you want. You throw some other stuff. But I think the main. A good Cobb salad to me is you're going chicken, you're going bacon, you're going avocado, and you're going a fried egg.
Okay.
You could put that on a hot
dog. You could hide $10,000 underneath that egg, and if that thing was in a cooler, I would not see the money. I'd be like, oh, there's the egg. See you later. Not touching that.
And crumbly blue. What's the the cheese? You can do different things with
803-0550 on the Sabres if you want. On Shakir, so I think there's plenty to say about it. I have a very controversial take. I don't think it's a steal. I think it's a fine contract. I don't think it's a steal. I think if you think he was going to command 20, you might overestimate that the Bills would have walked away from that. 15 is an average for Shakir is fine. It's fine. Mm-hmm. How good is he? Is he the 23rd best receiver in football? Probably not. I don't really care. It's the passage of time.
He was the 21st graded PFF receiver last year.
Very good. That's great. Good for him. Do teams worry about him? Game plan for him? Does he alter the way teams play? Maybe a little bit. Maybe sometimes. Was the fourth down play in Kansas City called for Shakir, but the blitz blew it up, so Allen had to make a Herculean effort to get it to Kincaid. That's that orbit motion play that they've run on fourth downs before. Is Shakir their go-to guy on fourth and five in the AFC Championship game? He might be. I've got really not much bad to say about Shakir at all. But I don't think it's a steal. I think it's, when he's on a rookie contract, that's a steal. And now he's paid like a receiver that's expected to produce, but not that much. $15 million, if you put up 1,100 yards, we're going to say great season from you. What did he put up this year? 900?
821,
and
I think
four
was the
touchdowns?
Number. Yeah.
Okay.
On 100 targets.
100 targets. Like 100 targets is not a lot. There's a point to be made here about James Cook. He's not on the field that much, so... Should I pay him like Saquon Barkley if he's not going to be on the field as often as these guys? All the running backs and their snap counts. Cook is not near the top. So do I get a discount because he doesn't play as much? He might not think so. And Shakir, 100 targets, that's not a lot. That's not a lot at all. That's what Xavier Worthy got as a rookie that people describe as a gadget player. Got 99 targets or I think maybe 98. So I think they got Shakir for... a solid number, and you want to adjust it down a little bit for inflation. The cap goes up about $50 million every year. It's just the kind of contract that I'm not going to worry about. He's probably a better $15 million than Dawson Knox is.
Oh, my gosh.
He's
100%.
He's a much bigger part of the offense than Dawson Knox.
He's a more dangerous player. He's a more effective player. He's a more regular part of the passing game, especially.
Yeah.
Yeah, he is. You really put him in line... because of the cap going up, you put him in line with the free agent class from this last year, the last 2 years, where who are the veteran receivers on their second contract immediately below Khalil Shakir per year? Mm-hmm. He's going per year. Throw Tyler Lockett out for a moment because I think he's going to get cut, right? Maybe that's part of this anyway. Right below that, Gabe Davis, Darnell Mooney, Allen Lazard, Jacoby Myers. Those four guys were all changed your team, right? Free agent contract. And when they signed, it was, nice deal. Mooney got $13 million per year. Jacoby Myers, $11 million per year. Like, those seemed like pretty good size free agent contracts at the time. And if you, again, for inflation for the cap, you kind of move Shakir down to like percentage of cap that he just signed for versus those guys for when they signed, then I think that puts him right in the right tier, doesn't it? Like, he's in that Darnell Mooney, Jacoby Myers tier of we're hoping to get a good number two. We're hoping to get a good number two. He right now is the Bills' number one, but I don't think even they would kid themselves to think he's as good as the number one guys that are on this list. He's as good as the free agent number two receivers of the past couple years.
Yeah, he represents the caliber of receiver they probably should have been adding in free agency a bunch. Maybe the caliber they tried, maybe a little lower. I mean, Curtis Samuel's not that. But Mooney is a great example. Like, Darnell Mooney's a good player.
He's a very good player.
He's a very good player that at $13 million is a good price.
And he does kind of play
outside.
Right? It's tough to almost compare because he kind of plays a different position.
Yeah.
He runs different routes.
Yep.
He's running at different levels of the field. And he's very good. I mean, he's had a great year in Atlanta. But maybe Myers is closer, a closer comp to Shakir. Would you say he's about as good as Jacoby Myers in the same category, same tier? So for me, fine. I think I think that they would have spent more, and you start now getting into, all right, Mike Evans and T. Higgins on his deal, and Calvin Ridley even. Like, again, there's just not many slot receivers that are above him. Who is it? Like, it's you're kind of CeeDee Lamb is that, because CeeDee Lamb plays a lot in the slot.
Yeah, it's Amon-Ra St. Brown, of course.
Yeah, but even I think he just had a year where he played like 65% on the outside.
Okay.
Like, primary slot guy, Cooper Kupp. It's kind of it. Like, there aren't many slot guys that are getting paid that's above him. Hitting Cooper Kupp and, like, Keenan Allen, and that's about it.
Right. Yeah, we're going off in the chat a little bit about this. Like, if you're comparing Shakir to Amon-Ra St. Brown, like, the Bills aren't stupid, and Shakir's not stupid. If Shakir thought he had the value of Amon-Ra St. Brown, an AAV of $30 million per year, he would not sign for 15.
Right.
It's very simple.
If he thought he had that in him, he wouldn't have signed this offseason.
No way.
He would have played next year. He would have tried to, you know, do more than what he just did. He wouldn't have done that. St. Brown played 577 snaps outside and 483 in the slot. You don't get that from Shakir.
He played where?
St. Brown played 577 on the outside and 483 in the slot.
Yeah, he's
so it's pretty close.
He's a complete receiver.
He's just a complete receiver. And Shakir again, like, is not.
None of this is to say Shakir is bad or the deal's bad or anything. It's just it's just I think the deal is appropriate. I'm not running around screaming steal. It's gonna be a bargain, because I think that can be a trap with a lot of contracts. Like, oh wow, this is gonna be a steal. No, I think it's good. It's good. And you are, I think, unlikely to regret it. How's that? Unlikely to regret.
Yeah, what would have to happen for them? I don't see the player taking a step back that would get you to regret it.
Yeah, he did not have a crazy, goofy year. He's good yards after the catch. He breaks tackles. He makes guys miss. He's very sure-handed. So I don't think you'll regret the deal at all. Who's next? My money's on Terrell.
Right,
Terrell Bernard is next.
You thought Bernard was going to be first.
I did.
A little interesting to me that he was first.
Shakir?
Not like stunning by any means.
The Cliff Notes, Shakir and Bernard were the two I thought would be the easiest or at least highest priority for the Bills. And it kind of gets back to that conversation about the other receivers, because there's no world in which the Bills would have ever franchise tagged Khalil Shakir. And they would never franchise tag Terrell Bernard. So with that in mind, they probably have a good, you know, be in their bonnet, if I could use that, I guess, to get this deal done this year. If you go to next year, those guys are going to the open market, and I can protect against that by signing them now. I would not use the franchise tag. You would use the franchise tag on Benford. You would use it on Rousseau, and you would even use it on Cook. None of those franchise tags are prohibitive. The one on Shakir would have been nuts. You never would have paid him, you know, $27 million for a year. You would have known you're losing, and your negotiating would be in real trouble. And same with Bernard. That's why I think Bernard could be next. And McDermott raved about Bernard at the Combine again. 803-0550-CJ, we're going to break in, give us a call, and we'll get right to yours, CJ. Paul Hamilton, Sal Capaccio from Indianapolis. The Shakir deal, give us your thoughts on it, and you know, what's next for this offensive core build-out. Jeremy and Joe on WGR. We have a James Cook Instagram story to decode.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll spend more of the break doing it. We got four heads in here thinking about it.
I really don't think it means anything. It is James Cook, a picture of him in the AFC Championship. He is pointing like he just got a first down.
Yeah.
And there is an hourglass emoji followed by the smiling devil emoji.
Tick, tick.
Tick, tick on what? On the extension? Or
yeah, the smiling devil is what's thrown me.
It couldn't be tick, tick on the Chiefs?
No, there's nothing to do with the Chiefs. The
Chiefs are in it.
No. Just him. It's actually
kind of him pointing at a Chief.
He's pointing a first down. It's like the most recent game he's played. He's not out here sending messages to the Chiefs. It's about his contract. Something. Tick, tick, they're getting close. Tick, tick. Bean said yesterday,
maybe.
Bean said, we want James to be here. By the way, Bean, you know what Brandon Bean is truly elite at?
What's that?
Being, he is undefeated in press conferences. He so rarely, so rarely steps in it, so rarely comes across any other way than, he never burns a bridge with a player, never says a bad word. He's a professional in those settings. And, you know, we want James to be here. Like, this is just, I hate it when the business side gets in, but it's, you know, blah, blah, blah. He's just, he's a pro. He is not making the Bills look bad, at least not in the press conferences. You know, he'll say everything he thinks is right. I'm always in for speed. I'd always love to add speed, even though they don't add speed. I'd love to have a Ja'Marr Chase. Love to have a Tyreek Hill. You know, he's just always making you feel good about how he feels about the team, regardless of what he actually does. Not to say he does, you know, like horrible things, but anyway. All right, we got to get a break in. I'm sorry. 803-0550. So the James Cook Instagram story, we'll try to continue to decode that. Paul Hamilton on the other side as the Sabres get a win. It's two in a row, but they've been streaking, and they're clawing their way maybe back soon. It's a long way to claw. Jeremy and Joe on WGR.